I'll be reading Hebrews 1 through 7. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, after he had provided purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I'll be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire."
But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. At righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has sent you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says in the being, "O Lord, you lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which the angels did ever God say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
We must pay more attention, therefore, to do what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For the message spoken by angels is binding, and every violation and disobedience received is its just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is not to angels that he has subjected to the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him."
I'll be reading from Hebrews 2. But we see Jesus, who has made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, he says, "Here am I, and the children of God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives have held in slavery by their fear of death.
For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he has to be made like his brother in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might take atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted.
Good evening. That was sad. Okay, good evening. That was better. All right, so as we get started tonight, this idea of that I want to talk about shortly is this idea of paying attention, this idea of kind of staying tuned in, of staying focused. And all too often, as people, we enjoy kind of tuning everything out. You know, there's nothing better than, you know, driving along and all of a sudden you realize you're about 15 minutes down the road and you're like, sweet. I did not have to deal with that. I was on autopilot. I did not have to think about it. Did not have to worry about it. It just happened. I don't know how. I'm still alive. This is awesome. And sometimes the weeks where we almost seem to zone out can almost feel like the most restful. Well, we get to one Sunday, all of a sudden we're at the next and we about don't remember what happened. And sometimes we're like, ooh, I feel like I missed something there. And sometimes we're like, you know what? I really don't feel like I had to pay too much attention. And sometimes we can enjoy that. I found a little cartoon on the subject. There's this little kid sitting at his desk, and he says, ooh, it's almost 11 o'clock. He said, you know, sweet, those last 2 hours really flew by. I hope the teacher didn't say anything important. You know, he was kind of on autopilot. You know, he was looking, and he acted like he was listening, but he wasn't really hearing. And sometimes we do that in our everyday lives, but sometimes we all also do it as Christians. Now, there's one section in this reading, and I love Hebrews 1 and 2. You know, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 and 2 almost tells the entire story of Jesus, you know, about Jesus, you know, being God, and then about, you know, Jesus being brought down as a man, about, you know, the end of the world, about Jesus coming to save us as humans. And I love the whole story, and it tells it in a very artistic manner. And I really enjoy that. But right in the middle, and it almost seems to not fit, at the very beginning of chapter 2, it's a warning to pay attention. And it's verses 1 through 4. And it says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The writer of Hebrews says, pay attention. He says, listen up. He says, you know, you have this wonderful salvation. You know this wonderful message. He said, now pay attention to it. You know, pay attention to what it says. Quit zoning out. You know, I have a list here of 74 verses about staying focused. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to read a few of them. First one's Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Then Psalms 1:1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and his leaves does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And on both those, it's just about taking the time to set our minds on God, to set our minds on the Scripture, to set our minds on what he calls us to do, you know. Not walking, you know, counsel of the wicked, nor standing in the way of sinners. You know, we set our minds on the things that are above. You know, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. And I could go on and on, but you get the gist of it. Is there are so many verses in the Bible that basically say, pay attention. You know what's important. Now pay attention to it. And quickly, I want to talk about 3 points when it comes to paying attention. The first is, as Christians, we've got to keep from zoning out. We got to pay attention to God. We've got to pay attention to others. And finally, we've got to pay attention to ourselves. Because autopilot can be very dangerous. This reminds me of a movie, an Adam Sandler movie, and it's not the best movie in the world. It's called Click. You may or may not have seen it. I'm not necessarily recommending it. It's not the funniest movie in the world. But the whole idea is he has this remote that he can use to fast forward through his life. And there are certain events that he just does not feel like paying attention to. He does not feel like having to take the time to go through, so he just fast forwards through them. Well, finally, this remote learns his preferences and starts fast forwarding forward. And he very quickly becomes devastated at this. He wants to stop. He wants to live his life. All he wanted to do was skip the bad parts, and now he's at the good ones and he can't stop. And he quickly realizes that he's missing something, that he wants that time. But what he also realizes is he's destroyed the relationships in his life because he's been on autopilot. He's lost so many opportunities because he's been on autopilot. His body's been going through the motions. He hasn't really been there. And I think as Christians, that's what we sometimes do. So first, there's pay attention to God. You know, sometimes once we get to the point in our spiritual journey where we're trying to ask God to bring us opportunities, whether it be to grow, whether it be to serve, you know, whether it be to expand His kingdom, we're asking for these opportunities. Or, you know, we're praying for this, we're praying for that, we're praying for the other, but we feel so discouraged because we feel like our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes we don't see the answer to our prayers. Sometimes we don't see these opportunities because we're not paying attention. Sometimes God sets us down in front of us. But, you know, he's not going to force feed them to us. But he sets them down in front of us, and sometimes we just pass them on by and we never notice. Because sometimes we're an autopilot. Sometimes we don't stop to pay attention to what God has put around us. And then just paying attention in worship. And that can be a really hard thing to do. You know, sometimes it feels like, ooh, sweet, that hour was pretty quick, or that 30 minutes was pretty quick. But, you know, sometimes we leave and are no more fulfilled, no more encouraged. You know, all these benefits that the gospel talks about us gaining from worshiping together, sometimes we don't feel like we get them. Because sometimes we're just on autopilot. And paying attention to others. You know, serving. A lot of times God does send us all these opportunities. Sometimes we see them. But sometimes we feel like we're too busy with something else, or we're just going through the motions. We're trying to get something done. Sometimes we feel like, I don't have time for that. Or, you know, maybe, it's just not that important. And sometimes in this just mode of autopilot, we're losing on these opportunities to minister, you know, to share the gospel, to serve others, or just be a shoulder to lean on. You know, how encouraging is it for you to have, you know, a Christian or brother and sister be the person that you can just, you know, lean on? Reading a book at school, and the writer makes one point in a chapter we just got done reading. He basically says, Christians are both the best evidence for and the best evidence against Christianity. And sometimes when we end up on autopilot, when we end up not paying attention to others, we become that best evidence against Christianity. Because other people, they know the basic idea of what our gospel tells us, of what our good news tells us, of what this message tells us. And just like it says in Hebrews 2, how if we have this amazing news, you know, if we have this amazing message, why do we not pay attention to it? Other people see us doing that, and they ask the same question. They say, you know, we know what you're told. Whether they believe it or not, they probably have a pretty good idea. And they say, if you think this is such amazing news, such an amazing message, so much so that you think I should give my life to it, but you pay no attention to it. So serving others. We have serving God, we have serving others. And we have a last one, and I'll close. I purposely tried to make it a little more brief. It's, you know, serving ourselves. I know you're thinking, sweet, serving ourselves, we can do this. But sometimes it's in a different manner than what we expect. Sometimes we don't serve our spiritual selves. I have 4 points in this. One, sometimes we need to take inventory of our spiritual lives. You know, sometimes when I talked about when it came to serving God, or when it came to, paying attention to God and paying attention to the opportunities He gives us to grow and to mature and, you know, spread His good news. Sometimes we miss this because we haven't taken opportunity for our spiritual lives. Sometimes we haven't even got to the point of asking for those things because we haven't taken the time to take inventory of our spiritual lives. Now, sometimes I think it'd be very beneficial to just sit down and say, you know what? Honestly, what can I work on? You know, what can be improved? Where can I do better? And I think sometimes we honestly miss our points of weakness because we don't take the time to sit down and say, what are they? Where can I do better? Next is inventory of our spiritual equipment. You know, I kind of think of this idea of the spiritual journey. And as we go through our spiritual journey, we kind of have to figure out where we are. We kind of have to take time and look at the map, and that kind of comes with taking inventory of our spiritual lives. But also we have to take inventory of our spiritual equipment. You know, sometimes we're not taking the opportunities God's given to us because maybe we don't think we can. We don't think that we have the ability to do that. Sometimes God's saying, yes, you do. He said, sit down and, you know, really look at yourselves and say, what spiritual gifts do I have? You know, what has God given me to work with? And sometimes we find that we have a lot more to offer than we realized that we did, but we just weren't taking the time to sit down and honestly with ourselves say, what do I have that I can offer to the church? To people outside the church that I want to minister to, that I can offer back up to God? You know, what do I have that I can offer to Him and to His message? And then sometimes we don't pay attention to ourselves and work toward having an in-shape faith. You know, this idea of what can I do to grow my faith? What can I do to train in my faith? And I mean, I'm the worst about this. Sometimes we get so busy doing everything else, and, you know, we never sit down to read our Bible, to study, to talk with other Christians, to minister to others, all these things that come with having an in-shape faith. And sometimes we get to church on Sunday and we say, you know what? That probably wasn't the most fulfilling. And honestly, I don't feel, my faith tank doesn't feel full as I go into this next week. And this is an idea that Mr. Goodwin and Sarah probably may remember where I'm going with this. And his idea of, you know, before the trip to Liberia, that we had to be, you know, training spiritually. We had to be filling up our tank spiritually so that when we got there, you know, we could overflow to these people. And sometimes we miss these opportunities to overflow to people because we're not filling this faith tank, because we're not training, we're not growing spiritually, because we're not paying attention to ourselves. We're not paying attention to our spiritual journey. So the three things I want to leave you with is we can't zone out as Christians. We have to pay attention to God, pay attention to others, and then pay attention to ourselves. So in this Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, this amazing story that the Hebrews writer gives us of Christ, who's, you know, more than the angels, who sits at the right hand of God, who comes and make himself a lowly man so that he can die, so that those of us who have fallen short can have an opportunity to be with God in heaven. If you would like to, you know, take part of that promise, to take part of that story, and, you know, to take refuge in that message, or if you just need the prayers of this church, will you come while we stand and sing?